The word of God chosen for our meditation this morning is recorded in the letter of, in the book of Genesis, the 18th chapter, beginning at the 17th verse. And the Lord said, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing, since Abraham shall surely become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? For I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him." This is our text. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Epiphany, to manifest, to show forth, to reveal. We celebrate the Epiphany Festival when the wise men, Gentiles, non-Jews, come to see the Christ, the child, the King of the Jews, the Son of David. We celebrate the Epiphany when we see the 12-year-old Jesus in the temple with the wise rabbis, the teachers. When we see him showing himself to be the Son of God in the miracle at the wedding of Cana. When we witness his baptism at the Jordan, when the voice of the Father comes from the cloud with the descending Holy Spirit, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." What has been hidden has been revealed. It is no longer hidden away in prophetic mystery. "We beheld his glory," says John. "We were eyewitnesses of his majesty," says Peter. This epiphany, however, was also a long time unfolding. It had begun long ago as God began to unfold the mystery of his love for sinners, to those who had disobeyed him. We hear it especially throughout the first book of Moses, Genesis. The first breath of it comes right away at the gates of Eden, from which Adam and Eve are being expelled, when God says to Satan the serpent, "I will put enmity between you and the woman, between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel." The first promise of Messiah. Many centuries later, in the time of Abraham, God unfolds this promise even more specifically. God takes Abraham out and shows him the stars in the sky, "And so shall your descendants be," he says. Impossible. Abraham, nearing 100 years old, with a decrepit old wife in her 90s, barren, no children. And Abraham hears that promise and believes it. And so God says, "Shall I hide from Abraham what I am doing? Surely not." Abraham is ushered through a great epiphany in which God lays out for him and his descendants what he will do for reconciliation and forgiveness. And that is certainly pictured when God instructs Abraham to kill his only son, Isaac, as a sacrifice. And when Abraham begins to act in obedience to this inexplicable command of God, God provides a ram for the sacrifice. Moses then tells us, Abraham believed in the Lord, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. St. Paul in the New Testament looks back to that. Abraham, against hope, believed in hope, being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Therefore, from one man, we read in Hebrews, and him as good as dead, were born as many as the stars in the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. And St. Paul in Romans, therefore, it was imputed, accounted to him for righteousness. Abraham believed. Belief, faith, is holding to be true something which to our way of thinking, to sight, and to reason is impossible. That's why the letter to the Hebrews points to it in this way: faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. But what is this faith? Is it a feeling, a state of euphoria, that moment when warm fuzziness creeps through all of our limbs? Remember in Hammer of God, so many of you have read it and remember everything in it. Friedfeld, in the second story, thinks that he has plumbed the depths of his own piety and righteousness when he haughtily announces to the rector, "I want you to know, sir, that I am a believer." And the wise old rector says, "Yes, very good. But what is it that you believe in?" And Friedfeld answers, "Well, I'm just simply a believer." And the wise old man says that that is a different kind of a religion. What is it that you believe in? We are pointed in the story of Abraham to what it is that we are to believe. Says, Abraham believed God, and God accounted it to him for righteousness. Now, that does not say that this faith is so something that in itself is so pleasing to God, and that God will reward all of those who believe in something, or that if you believe something, God will like you better. It says, Abraham believed God. And that is at the very root of all of God's saving grace. It's the heart of his promise of the forgiveness of sins and the inheritance of eternal life. Abraham believed God. And through that faith, Abraham stands before God as one who is righteous in God's sight. Abraham is righteous before God because he believes God's promise that he is righteous. That points to an even greater impossibility than to say that Abraham and Sarah, in their barrenness, would have a child. For it is even more impossible to believe that I, in my inmost being, am completely corrupt, filled with the enormity of sinfulness and evil inclinations, that I should in that state be forgiven. Every moment of every day, I have to say with St. Paul, the good that I want to do, I do not do, and the evil that I do not want to do, that I keep on doing. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? And yet, in my wickedness, in my unrighteousness, even more impossibly than in Abraham and Sarah's barrenness, God declares, God promises, you are righteous. And when God promised Abraham, Abraham understood full well by simple faith that God considered him not only the father already of many nations, but righteous in the sense of a perfect morally, being completely perfect morally before God. His sins are forgiven. St. Paul goes to the heart of that accounting of righteousness when he writes, God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. So God says it. God promises it. And it is so. You trust what he says. That's faith. The account of your evil work and deeds, as Isaiah pictures it, is like a statement of death, of debt, the note of a loan, folded over, doubled up, and thrown into the fire. There are no more sins to be punished. They are punished in the sacrificial lamb. Through faith, the trust that believes these promises of God, God now regards you as righteous, and he sees in you exactly the righteousness of his own Son. Believe, like Abraham, that God has pronounced you righteous, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. Thanks be to God. Amen. Let us rise for prayer. On behalf of Aaron Niemeyer, who is undergoing extensive back surgery today, and on behalf of two-week-old Hazel Heidelberger, daughter of recent graduate Angela Gomer Heidelberger, who is recovering from three heart surgeries, we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, through the merits of your Son and by your invitation, we approach your throne on behalf of these, your children, Aaron and Hazel. We thank you for the blessings of modern medicine and ask that these gifts now be used for their physical benefit. We commit each of them into your gracious hands, trusting that you will work all things for their good. By your word, comfort the members of their families through these difficult days, and according to your will, grant both Aaron and Hazel a full recovery. We ask it all in Christ's saving name. Amen.